excited for week four of Real Messages. We are taking 5 weeks and we're exploring some places in popular movies where we can find some positive lessons for our faith journey. And this week, we are looking at the series The Lord of the Rings. It has been the most requested movie over the last 3 years or so, and so excited to dive into that a little bit here today. The creator of The Lord of the Rings is J.R.R. Tolkien, and he was a believer and affirmed over the years that his faith influenced his works. And he was a professor at Magdalen College in 1930 after returning from World War I, where he served, and one night he was taking a walk with a war buddy who was also a professor. And the two of them were really into mythology, and they were discussing that one night, and Tolkien suggested to his friend that what his friend was convinced was a myth, that this god had died and was brought back to life, was in fact the greatest story in history. And his friend, named C.S. Lewis, took Tolkien's argument seriously, and it ultimately led to his transferring Jesus from myth to Savior and Lord. The two were close friends from 1929 to 1940 and work associates, both professors, and while Tolkien inspired Lewis's faith, Lewis inspired him to publish his stories. He once said this about Lewis: "The unpayable debt I owe to Lewis was not influence, as it is normally understood," he said, "but sheer encouragement." He said he was for long my only audience, and only from him did I ever get the idea that my stuff could be more than a private hobby. Well, author J.R.R. Tolkien sold his first book, The Hobbit, was written in 1937, and it sold out in 3 months. The idea came to him, he said, while grading an essay paper. He was just sitting there, and his mind was racing, and he grabbed a blank piece of paper, and on it he wrote, in a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. And that was the beginning. The Lord of the Rings was then released in 1954 and 55. However, the films weren't produced until 2001 to 2003. The premise is that in the beginning there was one God who created the world from nothing. And this God's favorite creation was humans. And this God had angels, and one named Melkor rebelled and tried to take the spot of God. And he attracted other angels to his cause, and there was this big war, and Melkor and his angels lost, and they were cast out. And they were then responsible for all the evil in the world. It should sound a bit familiar. This is basically the story of Genesis with a few names changed. Now, Melkor's lieutenant was Sauron, who disguised himself, and he tricked the elves into creating 19 rings, which he promised would preserve whatever was most important to them. And then there was a 20th ring, the one ring which Sauron forged himself, and it allowed him to control those who wore the other 19 rings. And when others would wear it, when at different points it left Sauron, and when they would wear it, it would trick them into thinking they could overtake him and rule the world. However, it was a lie meant to get them to take the ring back to him. And the ring also warped their minds. The ring was removed from Sauron's finger in a battle, which leads us to our first movie clip of the day.
Legend became myth, and for 2,500 years, the ring passed out of all knowledge. Until, when chance came, it ensnared a new bearer. The ring came to the creature Gollum, who took it deep into the tunnels of the Misty Mountains. And then it consumed him.
That line in there. I don't know if you caught it or if you're familiar with the movies, but that line, "My Precious" by Gollum, who was once a hobbit named Sméagol, is one of the most recognizable in the franchise. And yesterday, I just happened to take a trip to Mordor and stole the ring from Sauron. And so we are going to give a replica, well, yes, not the real one. We are going to give that away here today. And we're going to do just a quick contest like we've been doing each week for a prize. And I need 3 volunteers to give their best My Precious Gollum impersonations. And I already have a judge. Jen, if you'd come up. Anybody want to participate? No? Anybody else? Go to Mark. Marianne, did you want to? Yeah. All right, so what I'm going to have you do, Jen, is stand out here, and we'll have you face this way so you just hear them. Yeah, it is a little bright. All right, so you're each going to get, so you want to go ABC or 1, 2, 3? What's your preference? Okay, all right, so we're going to go, we'll give you each 2 shots here, so go ahead and give your My Precious. Next one, good job.
It's My Precious.
All right, we're going to give you 1 more so you can think on it a little here. That's Bible in John chapter 4. And you'll be able to follow along with us on the screen. We'll have most of the verses up there, or if you've got a Bible with you, that's great, or a good app. We'll also be on starting on page 726 in John chapter 4, and the Bibles that are in the pews or under the seats up front. Now, in John chapter 4, Jesus was traveling to Galilee, and on his way there, he stopped in Samaria. And John tells us that Jesus got tired. While he was God, he was still going through a human body, and so that body was tired. And he stopped by what's referred to as Jacob's Well around noon. And the well he stopped at was on a plot of land that had been given to Joseph by Jacob. And that well still stands there today. Here's a picture of the well. Now, it now exists inside of a monastery that is built around it. That well is the exact place that Jesus sat a couple thousand years ago and had this conversation with this woman. And it's a great reminder to us here today that the Bible is much more than stories or myths. That it's actually a true recounting of history delivered to us by the hand of God through His people. Here's what happened as Jesus sat by this well. And starting in verse 7, it says, "When a Samaritan woman came to the water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' And the Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' Said, 'For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.'" Now, some scholars have noted that it's odd that this woman would have went to town over noon during the hottest part of the day to draw water. However, others note that she probably did so because she was wanting to avoid the stares and the whispers of the other women in town. Now, there's a moment, just like this moment was shaping up for this woman that day, where Jesus sees us, and despite knowing the worst parts about us, He still goes out of His way to make us His own. Now, maybe you can remember that moment in your lives. If you think back and think about the before Jesus and the after Jesus, if you can remember that and what Jesus did to rescue you. In our story today, this woman was about to find the grace of God on full display. A God who didn't care about who associates with who, about how bad people have messed up, or about racial tensions. Things He still doesn't care about today. So Jesus asks her for a drink, and she responds with skepticism. And He says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well?" Well, she's obviously confused. You see, here's this guy whose kinsmen have hatred for her, and who he himself has nothing to draw water with, and yet he is talking with her, and he is offering her water and asking for a drink. You see, Jesus knows that she's looking for the one thing that can bring her home. In our movie trilogy, there was one thing other than the ring that offered power. There was a sword that brought with it the hope of vanquishing evil. And while Frodo and Sam were off trying to destroy the ring, Aragorn was being challenged to his hope. And this next scene is one of the most critical moments in the trilogy. Hope to mankind, and Aragorn proclaiming that he will keep none for himself. And it got me thinking about the one hope for mankind, Jesus, and how he set aside his throne and he offered up everything, even his life, so that evil could be vanquished. And in verse 13 of John 4, Jesus is about to tell his new Samaritan friend the magnitude of what he is offering. In verse 13, Jesus answers her. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water from this well here will be thirsty again." He said, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus lets her know that what he is offering is the only thing that can satisfy her both in this life and in the life to come. You see, things like love and money and work and entertainment and stuff, those things may satisfy us for a time, but we will always, always get thirsty again. We will always need more. We will need something that's newer, better. But the only thing in this life that will truly satisfy our thirst for love and our thirst for meaning is not a thing, it's a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. My friends, if you've been looking for meaning in something or someone other than Jesus, he makes you the same offer this morning that he made that woman at the well thousands of years ago. Come to him. Let him lead you. Look for your satisfaction in him alone, and you will find it. All else, everything else, everyone else in this world at some point will fail you. Jesus will not. Will we have the same choice she did? How will we respond? Let's look at how she responded. In verse 15, it says she's ready for the water, but she still doesn't fully understand. So Jesus does something incredible, and he reveals some facts about her. He asks her, where's her husband? And she says, well, you know, my husband isn't here. And, you know, they kind of go back and forth, and he reveals that he knows that, in fact, she's had five husbands. And that the person, the sixth that she's now living with, she's not married to. She's amazed by this guy who can tell her about her life. And so they discuss religion for a while. And then in verse 23, she says, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one who is speaking to you, I am he. And in that moment, she places her faith in Jesus as her Messiah. And when they finish talking, she goes back to town and she tells everyone that she had met, that she believes that she has found the Messiah and how he knew everything about her. And then she challenges them to go and see for themselves and get to know this Jesus. And verse 39 tells us that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And they urged Jesus then, after they talked to him, to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more were believers. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said, but now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. See, it all started off, and many believed because of her testimony, and then they believed because they heard Jesus' words for themselves, and as they took in Jesus' words, and as they discerned, the Holy Spirit showed them that the ultimate conclusion, the one and only answer, is that Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world. But one of my favorite quotes from The Lord of the Rings comes from Bilbo Baggins, who is related to Frodo, and he says this. He says, don't adventures ever have an end? He says, I suppose not. Someone else always has to carry on the story. Someone else always has to carry on the story. And that's kind of how it's been with this message of Jesus. Jesus shared his adventure with his disciples, who shared it with over 3,000 on Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection. And those believers continued to share their faith. Just like the woman at the well shared her faith with the people around her. And people like Tolkien shared with friends like Lewis. And Lewis has reached a whole lot of people for Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, 2,000 years later, around 2.2 billion people are following Jesus because of someone's testimony and how they then experience God for themselves. It's our job to carry on the story. So if we've experienced Jesus for ourselves, And if we believe that he's the Messiah, then it's our responsibility to spread the good news about the unconditional, unending, never-ceasing love of Jesus Christ. But the only way that we'll be good at sharing that news is if our cup is full, if we're taking in the satisfaction that Jesus has to offer and sharing out of an excess rather than a deficiency. So we need to make sure that we're always drawing near to Jesus. And there is no place that we will find ourselves more fulfilled or more loved or more alive than when we are in a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the exact place where we can have the maximum impact on our friends and loved ones and the world around us. So this morning, let's go to the well and let's run to the only one who can quench our thirst in life and for love. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you that before those of us in this room were even in existence, that you knew us and loved us and went to the cross on our behalf. Lord, we just pray this morning that we would not only know that love, but we would experience it, that it would be an all-consuming desire that we have to have nothing more than you in our lives, that you would be the one thing that we seek after above money or power or fame or things or any of it, that our one desire in this world more than anything else would be for you, Jesus. I pray that if it's anything other than that you would just do a transformational work in our hearts here this morning. And I pray that that love would be such that we can't contain it, but that it just overflows into every aspect of our being and every place that we go, everybody that we come into contact with. And I pray that this would all happen in our lives for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to take